An initiative stretching across three agencies is about to attempt to measure how effective science grants in particular have been in terms of creating jobs, the generation of knowledge, making an impact on health issues. It is called the Science and Technology for America's Reinvestment, Measuring the Effect of Research on Innovation, Competitiveness, and Science, or STAR Metrics. It will be led by the National Institutes of Health, the National Science Foundation, and the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. Now, joining us live in studio to talk about this effort is Julia Lane, the Program Director for Science of Science Innovation and Policy at the National Science Foundation. And we welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Now, first, let's talk about the program in itself, the STAR Metrics program. Tell us about it.
So this came out of a push by the administration for evidence-based policy. There's massive amounts of investment in science. We believe that that has an impact on competitiveness, on innovation, and job creation, and it's attempting to document the degree of that impact.
And are you looking for results right now? Because my understanding, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but science takes sometimes years before it's manifest as real competitiveness or economic growth. Well, so what's the timeline on all this?
Well, that's exactly right. The data infrastructure hasn't really existed in the past. What we're trying to build in partnership with the universities and grant recipients is a data infrastructure that can build our understanding for years out in advance. Now, the advantage is that in many cases, the data go back 10 years. So we've got enough information now to start describing what the impacts that were made of investments made 10 years ago, how they're building out and where the returns are coming.
What did you mean when you said evidence-based?
So this administration is very focused on building evidence bases in a wide variety of areas. There was a memo that went out to the heads of science and technology agencies on August 4th of last year from Peter Orszag and John Holdren, the director of OSTP and the director of OMB, which urged science agencies to rely on evidence-based policy to make investment decisions. In other words, to move away from anecdotes and move towards a data infrastructure. So that's what they're talking about, developing the models, data, and tools. In other words, a science of science policy that will help inform make decisions.
And what sort of information, what sort of data goes into this engine that will be built to measure these things? What is it? What are we looking at?
Well, the initial part is relying on the administrative records of universities, which will tell us directly who is supported by science investments. The next stage is to build on that initial jobs impact, which it wouldn't matter whether you were putting it into a football stadium or a university, obviously. It's the same jobs impact, essentially. But it goes beyond that to find out what firms, what startups, what IPOs were linked to that, like the Sergey Brin of Google, came from NSF funding, obviously. The social impacts, better health, better environmental impact, the workforce aspects, how many students were trained, undergraduates and graduate students, and so on.
How are you able to aggregate all of this information? That sounds like a lot of plates spinning at the same time.
Yeah, except if you think about it, almost all scientific activity occurs now on the internet. So it's a matter of capturing that information at the most granular level possible, which is at the level of the individual, mm-hmm. with appropriate safeguards and all the privacy controls and so on. Mm-hmm. But using those to aggregate up instead of relying on multipliers that may not be driven by the underlying behavior of the scientists.
And we're speaking with Julia Lane. She's the Program Director of Science and Science Innovation and Policy at the National Science Foundation.
And let's talk about the money that's being committed to this and the time. Tell me about the investment of resources, human resources, financial resources, all of that.
So NSF, and this is being led by NIH, so NIH Central IT is devoting their considerable resources to this. NIH has also put several staff on it. NSF has done exactly the same thing, as has the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. So there are a lot of human beings thinking about how to do this. The Federal Demonstration Partnership with the universities, there are about 60 universities that are stepping up to the plate and contributing to the effort. So there's a website on the Federal Demonstration Partnership site. The agencies themselves have contributed financial resources. It's starting out, this is the first year of a five-year project. Obviously, at the end of the 5 years, there'll be an assessment of how far we've got, and we expect this data infrastructure to take quite some time to build.
Now, when you build a there's a computer program associated with this, and so I guess all this data and numbers will be run through some kind of an algorithm at some point. Who builds that, and how do you get all these universities and scientists to agree, yeah, this is the way this should work, so that they can all have confidence in the outcomes, the answers?
That's a great question. So the whole point here is that this is not being driven from top down. This is being driven from bottom up. So the collaboration with the Federal Demonstration Partnership is intended to engage the universities and the faculty and the graduate students in the development of the data set. We're social scientists, so our bugs are human beings, right? They're the scientists we're studying. Uh-huh. And the great thing about this is our bugs can talk to us, so they can tell us whether the measurements work or don't work.
So you're able to get that immediate feedback, and then that goes into the data set.
That's exactly right. I should also add that although there are three agencies taking the lead, the OSTP, NIH, and NSF, there are 17, this is an initiative out of the National Science and Technology Council's Interagency Group on Science of Science Policy. There are 17 science agencies that are part of that. This actually comes out of 4 years of work and a roadmap that has been developed. And those other agencies will join at various stages.
This is a long-term project. You're taking the long view, the really long view.
Sure.
Why? Why is this important?
Well, so if you think about it, the initial impetus for this was a call by Dr. Marburger, who was the science advisor to President Bush. And he said, you know, the health policy debate is pretty well informed by data and by a theoretical infrastructure. Education, financial policy, labor policy, all of those are pretty well informed. But with science policy, we don't really have a good scientific basis for making these massive investments. And yet, I think many people believe that investments in science are the key to American competitiveness. But if we don't have an understanding of how investments work their way through the system, then it's very difficult to make wise investments. And two countries that have learned that to their cost are Sweden and Japan, which have poured massive amounts of money into R&D, but haven't seen the economic growth and the scientific competitiveness that one might want to see with that level of investment.
So it sounds like this whole thing could even run backwards. You could look at the outcomes and then later on down the line maybe redirect the investments in science so that you get the money goes where it's going to produce something.
Well, it's hard to... We don't want to make this sound as if you can predict the outcomes.
Sure.
Absolutely not. It's just to have a way of thinking about understanding how the investments work their way through. But that was another great question. My colleague Stefano Bertuzzi, who's working, who's doing this on the NIH side, that's precisely what he's doing, and many researchers who study the science of science policy have been doing. They take the winning projects and try and work back and figure out what went right. So there are two ways of doing it. One is prospective and the other is retrospective.
So you can actually get best practices and lessons learned out of this as you get this data in.
Yeah, but with a fair degree of caution, right? Since
sure.
There is a lot, this is, as you, the paths are complex, the outcomes can take 15, 20, 30, or 40 years to work their way through. So.
And briefly, before we let you go, how did you get involved in this? How did you wind up being the person who's able to speak to this and get all these cats to march in the same direction in this parade?
I'm not in charge here.
Let's make that clear.
Let's make that very clear. This is very much a team effort, and there are a lot of people who are working on this. Anish Chopra, the White House CTO, Diane Deulis of OSTP, Stefano Bertuzzi, and Bill Valdez. There are many, many players.